one of your colleagues has figured out a new way to find pieces of trash that are orbiting the Earth at more than 17,000 miles an hour. His creativity now earning him some prestigious recognition. Richard Rast is a senior engineer for the Air Force Research Laboratory at the Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico. He is a finalist for a Service to America Medal in the Science and Environment category. First of all, Richard, congratulations, because this is the, I would say this is now the seventh or eighth year that I've been covering the Service to America medals and talking to the finalists. And you're among a group of people that are doing some very cool and very important work, and you are certainly doing that yourself. Thank you for being on the program with me today.
Well, thank you. I imagine it will become clear during our talk how much I enjoy my work.
It's not hard to tell by reading what the partnership has prepared to educate people on their website about the kind of work that you do. Tell me how this system works and how you and your team, because you folks all that I talk to in this series always credit their coworkers. Tell me about how your team developed this and why it's so valuable to the Defense Department.
Well, the team involved in this actually includes Los Alamos National Laboratory, which is actually Department of Energy rather than Department of Defense. So this is a real broad team if you want to include them. They were actually the first ones to build a working system. I mean, fly's eye detectors have been around for a long time, but they actually built a system. They, however, were using it primarily for astronomy, looking for the optical counterparts to gamma ray bursts. But when I saw this system, I said, hey, this would make a great optical fence. And by that I mean an arrangement of small telescopes that would be all in a line. If you can imagine, oh, perhaps 16 of them in a row, oriented so that artificial or satellites crossing that plane moving north to south would only spend a few seconds in that fence, but you can't miss them when they come through as long as they're big enough.
The problem here that you were solving, and the partnership writes, more than a half million pieces of space debris are orbiting the Earth, causing safety concerns for astronauts aboard the International Space Station and threatening to damage or destroy spacecraft and critical military intelligence, communications, weather, and navigation satellites. So this isn't just of interest and value to the Defense Department, and it's not even necessarily just of interest to people in the federal government, because there are a lot of private sector satellites that are flying around up there now.
That's right, and it's not just nationally but internationally. The whole world looks to the United States to provide information on where these debris are, especially shortly after a collision or an explosion in space. My profile mentions the movie Gravity, and I don't want to discredit the movie. It's a really entertaining movie, but there are some misconceptions there, and not surprisingly. And one of them is that you could see this debris coming, or that, you know, it has to be big enough to really do some damage. As you may know, if you saw it, you know, one of the astronauts is killed by a direct hit through the forehead.
Oh, well, I didn't see it. You just ruined it.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. I would. I'm just kidding, Richard.
Okay. Well, the thing is, for every fragment from a collision or explosion that's the size of your fist, there are going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of smaller fragments. And all it takes is just, you know, one the size of a BB or smaller to puncture your spacesuit, and then you're dead anyway. It doesn't have to kill you outright. You will asphyxiate.
The system here is fascinating because it didn't really require, it doesn't sound like, a totally new invention or some huge development of a system. You saw what Los Alamos was doing, and you thought, how can I apply this technology to solve a problem that we've been trying to solve? And that gets right at the core, Richard, of what the federal government's trying to do with innovation to solve not just mission-related problems, but budget-related problems too. When you came up with this idea, how much latitude did you have, and how much latitude did your team have to be able to go and do it, understanding that it might not turn out the first time around or the second time around or ever?
Well, that's the great thing about working for a research laboratory is that you are allowed to fail occasionally as long as you, once in a while you achieve something big. My management's been wonderful. I made a discovery with my personal telescope a few years ago, and the boss looked at that discovery and said, you know what, this should have been made with a government telescope. So he purchased some inexpensive commercial equipment and then got permission for me to telework when necessary so that I could take advantage of the dark skies where I live, and we've gone from there.
It's pretty amazing because on the surface it sounds simple. You have a series of small telescopes. They take pictures, and then you convert those pictures to a movie, and then one can watch the movie and discern differences from frame to frame as you can when you watch any kind of movie. I obviously it can't be that simple. What makes the technology underneath this concept work as well as it does, Richard?
Well, we've actually found that the technique works even better for artificial Earth satellites in deep space, you know, way out there, maybe as far away as the moon. But the technique itself isn't really that new. You may recall how Clyde Tombaugh discovered Pluto. He was using what at the time they called a blink comparator. He was actually just flipping back and forth between two photographs he'd taken, and the human eye is really good at detecting motion. Even with something that's, you know, barely visible on the photograph, you can see this jumping back and forth between two frames. Well, the movie idea just takes that a little farther, where you see this continuous motion, and the human eye is just amazing at picking up that kind of motion, a lot better than any automated technique we've been able to come up with so far.
Richard Rast is a senior engineer at the Air Force Research Laboratory at the Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico, a finalist in the Service to America medals for the science and environment category. So what does something like this mean to you and your team to be recognized on this level? Because I'm sure you know by now this is a really big deal.
Well, I'm learning that it is. I better get this right. Air Force Research Laboratory's motto is lead, discover, develop, and deliver. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but to me, this recognition just means that we're doing our jobs. I mean, there are a lot of AFRL employees out there who deserve an award, but most never become finalists for an award as prestigious as this, so I am truly blessed.
Well, Richard, I congratulate you and your colleagues on this, and I thank you for coming on to talk about this, and I hope I get a chance to meet you in person at the award ceremony this fall. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rose.
Richard Rast is a senior engineer for the Air Force Research Laboratory at the Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico. You can learn more about him and all of the finalists for Service to America medals. And you can hear my entire conversation with Richard later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.